bash, row by row. I'm gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain come tumbling.
Welcome, friends, to In the Garden. I'm Kelly Casey, and across from me is my good gardening friend, Shar Shar. How does your garden grow?
I am making a lot of progress with fall preparation.
Oh, fall preparations. You know, it's hard to believe that we are nearly at the end of year six. The only show we have left besides this one is our big show next week.
Yes.
And that is our holiday extravaganza gardening gift show. And people who have listened to us before here on KDWA will know that one of our favorite things to do is look through catalogs, go online, see what the local stores have for our gardening gifts. And then even if we don't have anybody to buy them for, we'd like to bring those resources to you. So be sure to listen next Wednesday, and our year-end show will be all about the gifts that you can give to your gardener, even if that gardener is you. Well, today I am very excited because we have not done a show like this before. When we first started 6 years ago, Shar, we decided that this was going to be a conversation about gardening between friends. And that's what it has been.
Yes, it
is. And we have had so many great gardening friends, not only Shar, but some wonderful guests. My mom has stepped in. People from the community have stepped up to the microphone and said, here, I'm going to tell you about my garden. And I've been so thankful for that.
Yes.
Because we have really been able to go out and see all the kind of different perspectives and experiences that people have had with their gardens. And Shar, I think it's really been a learning environment. And I hope our listeners are finding that as well.
It's all about learning. I think when you're a gardener, it's never too late to learn. Even in old age, as I am entering.
Well, and you know, the other thing is, no 2 years of gardening are the same.
Oh,
and
yes.
I think we have got to have that perspective, especially when we have expectations in our garden that, well, this did so well last year, or I've always had good luck with this. And then you go into a dry period. Oh. And speaking of dry period, the drought has really made a big difference in how we garden. And
true.
I think, Shar, don't you think we probably are going to have to figure out other ways and maybe other expectations for our garden? You never know when this will either continue or pop up again. So we have to be very flexible in the garden.
Exactly. You have to look at how much the deficit of rainfall is, and then who knows what a snow cover will be like, if any, and then if you get spring rains or not. So it's all kind of like the old adage, farming is a gamble. Well, kind of so is gardening.
It really is. And I think if we are going to be successful, we just have to be able to be flexible and try to gain as much joy from the process of gardening. Maybe not the outcome, because sometimes the outcome, frankly, is not what we expected or hoped for.
Right.
And then also, on the other side of that, sometimes we get a tomato plant that puts out more tomatoes than our entire neighborhood can eat. So there is a yin and yang to gardening as well. Well, today's show, as I said, we have not done a show like this, but we are looking back at 6 years of topics and highlights, and we are going through, I mean, literally, I have the books in front of us. I have some of the manuals, and Shar has always been such a great resource for all of these facts and figures, and she loves the history of gardening, and she's shared that. So we're going to go back into a few of those topics, and I hope that our listeners will indulge us today as we take a trip down the garden path and try to remember some of the topics that were important to us. And I think the first thing on your list, Shar, is going to be hummingbirds.
Yes. You know, down memory lane I go with the hummingbirds. I probably have talked about hummingbirds more on the In the Garden show than any other topic. I just love them. And, you know, I have to reference something. I used to get a ton of hummingbirds at my feeder. And you know, hummingbirds come back to the same area, much like the Baltimore Orioles do.
Mm-hmm.
They go back to the same tree sometime, the Orioles. But anyhow, the hummingbirds, in the last 2 years now, I've noticed a decline. And I think back, if anybody out there remembers, when the Gulf States had that big, long freeze, like down in Texas,
mm-hmm.
I think that it did something to the population of the hummingbirds, because not all hummingbirds cross over the Gulf into South America. Some do winter over at the very edge of the Gulf there, Texas, Louisiana. And I noticed, or else it could be just the age of the birds in my general area, but I want to throw out there an equation for some people that may remember. I always stress that when you're making your hummingbird mix, like I do, it's 4 cups water to 1 cup sugar. You bring the 4 cups to a boiling point, add your cup of sugar, and voila, you don't have to add coloring or anything. So that was always my little ratio or recipe to give people on hummingbirds.
Well, you love hummingbirds, and I love birds. And we have a problem at our home with woodpeckers. And we've talked about this before. Sometimes when we're looking for those feathered friends to join us in the garden, we like to be selective. Unfortunately, we cannot. Mm-hmm. And we have woodpeckers that go after our cedar siding. And we are actually going to be re-siding our home because
of the woodpeckers.
Because of the wood. They make huge holes. And what they're doing is they're looking for the bugs that are underneath there, which makes you feel kind of creepy, frankly.
Well.
But they're looking for any kind of insects that they can drill through. And we've also had wonderful pileated woodpeckers.
Yeah,
they're huge, and they look like they come out of the Jurassic Age.
Yeah.
They've got the big thing on their head and they're very flighty, so it's very hard to see them. You have to kind of surprise them and to be able to see them at all.
Very special when you do.
It is very special. But so I've started feeding again now as we're getting towards the winter time, and I've noticed a lot of things are migrating. The other day we had, I would say it was at least 300 or 400 of the red-winged blackbirds in one tree.
Oh,
and
wow.
I came out the door and I heard this huge sound and I could not figure out where. And I looked up and the tree was just black with birds. And they were singing and cawing and looking for water.
So I
went out and filled every low. I mean, I grabbed pans. I grabbed some cake pans. I grabbed whatever, knowing that they were going to need water. Now, yes, we live very close to a river, but it's not the same thing as when they're flying looking for rest.
They like
need
shallow.
To have.
They
do
like
shallow
drinking.
They do, but I don't know. There's something about the birds in the garden, and we've talked about all different aspects of the garden: birds and pollinators and bees and things like that. And we also want to make sure that we're being good stewards of our land. We use very few chemicals. I know Shar and I have talked about over the years being very frugal with the kind of substances
Don't overdo the chemicals.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, and we talk about pests and we talk about Japanese beetles and some of the pests, some people will use natural things to get, and we've gone down that road.
As far as not doing away with your milkweeds, I want to emphasize that in the last 2 years now, I've noticed a sharp decline in the monarchs. At one point over the years, Kelly has been out here to see just flocks of monarchs hanging in our trees out here on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that has not happened in the last 2 years. So I want to caution everybody not to destroy all your natural wild milkweeds like that are in your ditches and stuff, or don't mow them down. Those are the nutrients for the little baby caterpillars of the monarch. So that and other things as far as pests and predators go, just always be mindful of the chain of life and the cycle in the garden.
We also talk about reusing and reducing and recycling things. And I think one time we had a show and you were talking about using toilet paper tubes for planting seedlings.
Yes. I remember that show.
And yogurt cups.
Yes.
And different kind of things that you can reuse in your garden.
Yes.
And this time of the year just begs the mention of our mulching.
Right.
I'm out there mulching and mulching and mulching.
Right.
Although I do remember, and we'll share this with every one of you who are listening to our wander down memory lane today in the garden, that when you're mulching, make sure you don't add any black walnut meats,
oh, yes.
black walnut seeds, husks, even the leaves can be toxic to the places that you're planting. So keep those separate from your oak and your maple if you possibly can. Dispose of those in a different way so that you're not putting those into the soil. It will just poison your soil. There's just no other way to say that.
If people are wondering why, there's a natural inside chemical of all wall things walnut, and it will absolutely diminish the growth of any plants in the area.
So what I want to know then, Char, if that's so toxic, why are those squirrels around my house so big?
I know.
That's what I want to know.
I know.
That is so bad for them, how when they're and they leave the little bits of shells and things all
ones.
Over. Oh my gosh.
Step on those things.
Those, I tell you. Well, and recycling things is really important,
yes.
especially if you're going to be a frugal gardener. And we've also talked about being a frugal person, trying to make sure that you use what you have. And I'm right now cleaning up some of the some of the pots that I have and recycling those, making sure that we have those nice and clean. Now, I don't scour them up. Some people do.
Yeah.
They use a bleach solution. And I know you're a big fan of sterilizing or at least cleaning your pots really well that you intend
to
reuse.
Pots and tools. I can't find that particular show where the solution recipe is, but it's not 100% bleach. You want to make it a diluted solution. Just within reason, it'll probably say right on the bleach bottle as far as just sanitizing tools and so on and so forth. But I think the less you carry over any kind of little nasties that are clinging to the sides of the pots or the clippers or the tools is helpful. You'll have more success that way.
And I know the big thing about tools too is to keep them dry. And how do you, my grandpa, I think, always put them into a sand bucket with oil in it. Does that sound familiar?
My dad and mom did that. I did not.
To keep rust at bay.
And because the other thing you can do, if you have like a vegetable oil that you want to coat, if you don't want to go that route, just when you know it's the last use of the year and you're going to store them away, Martha Stewart would even tell you to on the wood handles to put a little linseed oil to keep that natural. But I would just put even just a little coating of vegetable oil on the blade, maybe wrap it in some newspaper so it doesn't get everything sticky everywhere. But just to keep that rust from forming or oxidizing.
I know preservation of those precious tools are a very big thing. And the other thing is maybe get yourself a central location where you gather those together at the end of the year, because I find myself collecting them from, it's sitting over near the picnic table, or, it's down by the barn, starting to kind of make that big roundup in the fall.
That reminds me of is, remember the show you did on she sheds? Remember that show?
I still have a dream and a fervent wish that at some point in my life, I will have some form of she shed.
Yay.
Although I'm looking at some of the things that are online, and I think that's really defeating, because I look at some of the things that people have built and some things that people are enjoying. It looks like a second house.
I know. You can go overboard.
You really can. But this time of the year, I think maybe collect those tools together, and whether you're putting them in your she shed or just in one part of your garage,
one location,
so that you know where they are, because you're going to need them again next spring.
Definitely.
And that can't come soon enough. Well, once again, it's Kelly and Char today on In the Garden. And we are, before next week's big holiday show, we're kind of meandering down the garden path and looking at some of the things that we have been talking about in the last 6 years. One thing that I wanted to highlight, and I think something that we've talked about, I've talked about my grandparents and my mom and other people in my life who have gardened and have been garden mentors for me. And I think Char wants to say something about her folks.
Oh, absolutely. it wouldn't be right for me to overlook the fact that my mom and dad had a neat little thing going on between the two of them.
I love this.
They had competing gardens. Now, granted, they were mostly vegetable gardens on Dad's side. He was big into them, and Mom was kind of multitasking, you know, flowers and vegetables. But they actually had separate locations on the farm, Dad's garden, Mom's garden, to see who'd get the first tomato, whose beets were the bigger, or the carrots the longer and straighter, and so on. It was just fun. It was all in good nature, and it was just friendly, loving competition. And even when they moved and retired to the big city, granted, they had a little kind of tinier garden area, but that Dad had his little section in the garden. It was just a loving memory I have of my parents.
And I think we have gotten so much great information and so much guidance from those early years, even how to weed.
Yes, showing how to do it the right way. Get the root. Don't just break it off at the ground level.
I know, and I have imparted that to my son, and actually he's a very good weeder.
Good.
It doesn't last very long. And the nice thing, too, as we look at some of the improvements that we have in gardening, we have such wonderful tools.
Oh,
I always have talked about two tools over the years, and one is my garden claw, and it looks like a giant corkscrew kind of, and it has four big claws on the bottom of it, and that turns soil so well. Now, granted, in little areas, but where you need to get into small areas, sometimes you'll find one at a garage sale or something. Snap it up.
Yes.
I don't even know if they make them anymore, but mine's bright blue, and that I like that about it too, because I can't lose it in the yard.
You'll see it immediately.
You do see it. And the other thing is the root slayer,
which will be featured on our holiday show.
That's right. That's next week. Yes, we will make sure that we give you the resources for that wonderful tool. So the tools of a gardener, no matter how grand or how basic they are, make sure that you have the tools that fit you. And as gardeners age, Shar, don't you think that we are also looking to simplify? We don't put in 10,000 bulbs. We don't put in rows and rows of crops anymore. We have to kind of scale it to what we can do.
What you need.
And that's okay.
Absolutely. You don't have to grow for the whole block.
No.
You can just grow enough.
Do you hear those zucchini neighbors? Do you hear that? You don't have to grow for the whole block. Although I appreciate that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's nothing like a zucchini bread with the chocolate chips in there.
Oh, you know, taste it now. And I think maybe next year we're going to have to focus on some more recipes. What do you think, Shar?
We didn't do any this year.
We didn't.
Next year,
that's a goal. All right. Well, a goal is next year. And if anyone is listening out there that would like to hear us continue, I can't believe that we are at the end of our program of year six.
Yeah.
Except for next week, which will be our big holiday show. So if you'd like to hear us go on into year seven, seven's a lucky number, right,
Char? That's right. That's
all right. So maybe the powers will have us back here on the radio. We never know, but we would love to continue gardening.
Sure.
And we would love to continue talking about our gardening successes and challenges among friends.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Char. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
And picking stones, we are made of dreams and bones. I feel the need.